Haiti is far from the first country to suffer an outbreak of cholera after a disaster. Not just earthquakes, but cyclones and war can provide the perfect conditions for the disease to thrive. Richard Garfield is a professor in the schools of nursing and public health at Columbia University. Dr. Garfield, remind us what it is about natural disasters that can cause cholera to spread within the human population.
Normal sanitary engineering for getting rid of wastes and having access to clean water is usually lost, and populations get concentrated in a few places. Both of those factors tend to greatly up the chance of getting very serious infections.
So what's confusing is some countries have really poor sanitation systems. There seems to be a permanent breakdown in, you know, clean water and sewage systems. But they don't have big outbreaks of cholera. Can you explain why that is?
Places in the world with cholera, and there are around 100,000 cases of disease each year, what they need to do is identify and treat the cases and encourage people to use ways to clean their water and to get rid of their wastes in a more safe manner. Most areas today that have cholera would have much more cholera if they weren't doing those things already.
In places around the world where cholera is endemic, do disasters always end up by increasing the number of cholera cases you see in the weeks and months after the initial impact of those disasters?
It all depends on the nature of the disaster. Cholera is a common, we say, endemic condition in Pakistan. Pakistan had enormous flooding this year, but the number of cholera cases only went up a little bit. On the other hand, with the Asian tsunami 5 years ago, there was an enormous fear that cholera would ravage the people in Aceh, Indonesia, the most affected area. But in Aceh, people live in small villages for the most part. There isn't the crowding, and there wasn't the presence of cholera there to start with. There wasn't really reason to believe it would be a problem, and it wasn't.
Doesn't this make kind of Haiti a really odd case? Because apparently there hasn't been an outbreak of cholera there in over a century.
Haiti had the sanitary conditions ready to take off if any serious infectious disease appeared. And because so many foreigners go to Haiti to assist, either through the UN or NGOs or church organizations, the potential was always there. It is unusual. We couldn't have predicted that it would happen, but we knew that it might happen.
Now, cholera is caused by a type of bacteria that can occur naturally in the environment. So do you ever really get rid of it entirely, or is there always the risk that it can come back if the conditions are right for it to spread, like, I guess, Haiti?
When cholera transmission happens in a human population, there are always places where it hides in the environment, in shellfish or in brackish water or in algae. And you can get rid of it, but you can't get rid of it overnight, and you can't get rid of it by treating all the cases. It takes a couple of years to clear out the cases and reduce the reservoir so that in the environment, little by little, the bacterium disappear.
So far, Dr. Garfield, over 800 people in Haiti have died from cholera. The United Nations is predicting that 200,000 people in Haiti could contract cholera, a number that's based on the experience of an outbreak in Zimbabwe several years ago. How accurate is that prediction?
It's not likely that there'd be 200,000 cases. One could say if Haiti was like Zimbabwe, then probably it would be. But in Zimbabwe, per capita income fell by three quarters because of economic sanctions and economic mismanagement. And the country's cut off from the international community and has few nurses and doctors or international teams helping out. Haiti has none of those new problems. So it's likely that Haiti will have far fewer cases than Zimbabwe.
Dr. Richard Garfield, a professor at Columbia University Schools of Nursing and Public Health. Thanks very much.
My pleasure.